Hey, everybody, before we start the show, I just wanted to tell you that we have a Patreon if you're interested in supporting the show. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/kilowatt or supportkilowatt.com, and you can get rid of all of the pesky commercials. And it's cheap. It's only $1 a month. patreon.com/kilowatt or supportkilowatt.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt. My name is Bodie, and I am your host, and we are going to talk about Ford's Q3 2022 earnings call. This show will be right around 30 minutes. So let's go ahead and jump right into Jim Farley, the CEO of Ford. Let's go and jump into his opening remarks. Right away, he starts talking about the Ford Plus plan. At its core, the Ford Plus plan splits Ford into two different entities, Ford Blue, which is the ICE vehicles, and Model E, little e, which is the electric side. And I should say Ford Blue also includes hybrids. So anything with an internal combustion engine falls under Blue. And obviously anything that's fully electric falls under E. Let's go ahead and jump into Jim Farley's opening remarks.
We introduced the Ford Plus plan for growth and value creation 2 years ago, and the investment thesis had three drivers. Leveraging our iconic vehicles, our strengths, both geographically and nameplates. Number two, add to that integrated hardware, software, and connectivity into those vehicles, and then expand the total addressable market and unlocking value with Conquest EVs, new commercial vehicles, connected services and physical services, as well as mobility. So today I'd like to share a progress report on Ford's transformation, of course, update you on our autonomy strategy and our announcement, and of course, recap the quarter. Our ambition to be the leader in EV is already taking shape. In our home market, Ford Model E has now had incredible successful launch of three products. They're now in scaling, F-150 Lightning, Mach-E, and E-Transit. And each year attracting, for us, almost all new customers. So this is growth. We're now the number two electric brand in the U.S., and we're just beginning with our scaling. Our decision to create Blue for both ICE and hybrid vehicles has focused and energized our team to leverage what we do best at Ford.
All right, not a lot to add on this, but terms like Ford Blue and Model E, they do come up in the earnings call quite a bit. And if you're not familiar, I thought this was a great way to get you familiar with the rest of the earnings call. Next up, Jim Farley is going to address Ford's autonomous driving efforts. And if you remember, just recently, autonomous driving startup Argo recently shut down. And we talked about this. Ford and Volkswagen were the biggest shareholders in Argo. And I think around 2020, they mentioned somewhere in here, I don't know if it's in the recording or not, they mentioned that Ford and Volkswagen had controlling interest in the company, and they decided to dissolve it for various reasons, and they'll talk about some of those, although I'm not 100% sure they're being genuine, but they'll talk about some of those in this next clip and some other clips that we have when analysts start asking questions. But the Argo employees went to Ford and some went to Volkswagen, and then some unfortunately just lost their jobs and will have to find jobs elsewhere. But instead of me blabbering on, let's go ahead and listen to Jim Farley explain Argo and kind of what happened there and what Ford's plan is going forward with autonomous driving.
Now I'd like to share an important strategic shift in our autonomous vehicle strategy. 5 years ago, we committed to invest $1 billion in Argo AI to develop autonomous level 4 technology. In 2020, we completed a transaction that resulted in Ford and VW both owning the majority of Argo at equal levels. We still believe in level 4 autonomy, that it will have a big impact on our business of moving people. We've learned, though, in our partnership with Argo, and after our own internal investments, that we will have a very long road. It's estimated that more than $100 billion has been invested in the promise of level 4 autonomy. And yet no one has defined a profitable business model at scale. Based on the change in this outlook and our increasing promise and focus on level 2 plus and level 3 autonomy, we've decided to wind down the Argo business and impair the investment. We're working closely with Argo and VW on all the details. But here's what I want to focus on. Advancing level 2 hardware and software beyond what Blue Cruise can do today, and ultimately enabling our customers to travel in very large ODDs or operating domains with their eyes off the road, will give them back the single most valuable commodity in our modern lives, time. This has become mission critical for us at Ford. Ford has deployed BlueCruise on many vehicles across hundreds of thousands of Blue Zone miles. We have strong technology partners working alongside us. And now we're going to bring in several hundred people from Argo, a brilliant collection of minds who've done a great job, who have done wonderful work in the L4 space. But their job and mission now is to help us create a differentiated level 4 BlueCruise system. Yes, this is a huge addressable market, and the potential for highly accretive new revenue streams tied to level 3. But at the end of the day, this is about giving millions of people back time and eliminating the monotony of highway miles and stop-and-go traffic. And as for the future of true L4 autonomy, we don't expect there to be a sudden aha moment like we used to. Deploying L4 broadly, perhaps the toughest technical problem of our time, will require significant breakthroughs going forward in many areas. Reliable and low-cost sensing, it's not the case today. Algorithms that can operate on limited compute resources without constraining the operating time and domain of an electric vehicle. Breakthroughs in neural networks that can learn to operate a car more safely than a human, even in very complex urban environments. The muscles we have built with our new talent in broadly deploying a transformative BlueCruise L3 system will ultimately be essential to the future of accessible driverless vehicles in everyday life. What's so exciting for me is that we are on the cusp of a transformational moment for Ford. We will introduce a lineup of not first, but second cycle EVs that are not only fully software updatable and constantly improving, but they will generate an 8% plus margin. An amazing array of software-enabled services not just BlueCruise L3, but many others. Video services for software, for safety and security. And we're already shipping a broad range of Ford Pro productivity tools and 100% uptime services for our commercial customers. That is a transformation for us.
All right. What I read into this, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bodie at 918digital.com, but what I read into this was, hey, turns out this level four is really hard. Maybe we should try solving level two and then solving level three before we move on to level four. And that makes total sense to me. There's really no sense in trying to skip to the end of the line when you haven't even mastered the second step. And I guess there's three steps. There's level zero, level one, level two. You haven't mastered level two yet. So I thought it'd be a good chance or an opportunity for us to talk about the levels of autonomous driving according to the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration. Zero is basically you got nothing. It's all up to the driver. Level one is driver assist, which includes adaptive cruise control, lane keep assistance, which is pretty common in newer vehicles today. And then you have level two, which is additional assistance. Basically, you're driving the car, you're responsible for monitoring the car, you know, you're responsible for steering and braking, but the car can take some of the load off of you. But you still need to be fully engaged and attentive in the driving experience. That's what level two is. And I think that's where almost all, if not all, the Chevy Cruze, Waymo even, although I know that Waymo does have self-driving vans. I've experienced them. They're not very good. Maybe those could be considered level three, but they're definitely not level four. Tesla's autopilot and even a little bit of full self-driving here, I would still consider those level two. Now, some of those services I just talked about are tickling level three, but they're not quite there yet. So what is level three? Level three is the system drives, but you must be able to take over upon request. So the system's engaged and handles all aspects of driving while you, as the driver, are available for driving if requested. Well, you might be thinking to yourself at this point, that sounds a lot like Tesla's full self-driving and full self-driving beta, even autopilot. But if you go to the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, if you go to their website, it says these technologies are not available on today's vehicles for consumer purchase in the United States. So as of this moment, for consumer purchase, and we'll take Waymo out of that because the vans cost, you know, like $180,000+ because of all the equipment that's on there, not available. I think this will change over the next couple of years, but as of right now, we're not there. All right, moving on. He mentions level four, which is high automation. The system is fully responsible for driving tasks within service areas while occupants can act only as passengers and do not need to engage. So this is a geofenced area where basically there is no driver in this area. You are a passenger in the system under most weather conditions is able to handle all of the driving. Again, we're not quite there yet. And then finally, we have level five, which is full autonomy wherever you are, and you're just the passenger. No human driver is actually needed to operate the vehicle, no matter where it is. So with that, that kind of puts into perspective how hard it's going to be to reach level four. It's going to be really difficult to get out of level two to reach level three. But from level three to level four, it seems like it's going to be a lot more work than what some folks say it's going to be. And I'm not going to mention who, but we all know some people who talk like that, that, you know, will be full self-driving by the end of the year, which is, you know, in a month. We'll see if that happens or not. Next up, Jim Farley's going to give us an update on what's going on with Model E and its progress. So let's go ahead and listen in.
Let me now switch to the quarter. With Ford Model E, we're on track to reach our annual production rate of 600,000 EVs by the end of next year and 2 million by 2026. I'll say that close, carefully. There is no change to our target. We're adding shifts to the Mustang Mach-E and F-150 Lightnings as we speak, and we're scaling production of E-Transit. In Europe, our all-new EV manufacturing center Cologne will be complete and turning out vehicles midway through next year. Our Ford Otosan JV in Turkey is not only scaling the 2-ton e-Transit, but they're also going to be launching a brand new product, a 1-ton e-Transit Custom electric, while breaking ground on a new battery plant that will supply those for those Transits. And in September, we've already started construction of Blue Oval City in Tennessee, where we will build a new generation EV truck and batteries. And at the same time, we've already broken ground as well on the new Blue Oval SK battery plants, plural, in Kentucky. We're also further strengthening Model E's EV supply chain. Our team is making great progress in securing raw materials, importantly, the processing of those raw materials, and the battery capacity that we need. We expect the U.S. Inflation Reduction Act to have a wide range of positive impacts for both our customers and for Ford. What's not yet clear is the degree to which the IRA will drive customer demand versus offsetting our EV investments and growth. So let me touch on some of the potential benefits of the IRA. The first opportunity is our largest, the battery production tax credit of about $45 per kilowatt hour. From 23 to 26, we estimate a combined available tax credit for Ford and our battery partners could total more than $7 billion. With large step up in annual credits in 27 as our JV battery plants ramp up to full production. The second benefit is often overlooked. I haven't actually read anyone in the media covering this, but it's super important for Ford, and that's the commercial EV credit. You know that Ford is the number one commercial vehicle brand in the U.S., and our commercial customers can now claim next year, $7,500 per EV vehicle they buy with no restrictions on battery sourcing or manufacturing. Our preliminary estimate is that between 55 and 65% of all of our commercial vehicle customers will qualify. A third opportunity is retail. Ford EVs and our PHEVs remain eligible for the $7,500 tax credit until guidance is issued at the end of this year. Next year, we believe we'll meet the $3,750 critical materials credit requirement on certain Mustang Mach-E and F-150 Lightning models. In 24, the rules will further restrict this critical materials credit, so we believe it's a fairly level playing field right now for all the OEMs, as our supply chains of critical material extraction and, of course, processing in the U.S. and FTA develops. The fourth benefit centers on the funding growth in our investments, such as geothermal energy credit, critical for Blue Oval City, the Department of Energy loans, grants to convert our domestic facilities to produce electric vehicles, battery plants, and other EV components. We're exploring all these capabilities and possibilities, as you can imagine. Now, as you know, we shared the new electric customer standards with all of our North America dealers last month at Vegas. That means a single, simple e-commerce platform, ultra-low vehicle finished inventory, non-negotiated pricing, and fast charges at all of our dealerships. Now, early response from our dealers has been very favorable. Many are poised to invest to meet these new standards for electric vehicle customers, while other dealers will opt to specialize for Blue or for Pro. And there's real rewards for going first.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
It doesn't sound like dealers are super stoked about this plan, but, you know, just based off a story we had last week or the week before. But we won't readdress that. Ford's making moves in Europe, which is good. I'm really excited to hear what new EV truck they're going to announce. And then finally, in this clip, it sounds like Ford had a decent idea of where they sit in terms of the Inflation Reduction Act and what kind of tax benefits they will be getting from that. So that's good. And he did a good job of explaining it and breaking it down. I don't really have anything more to add other than out of all the CEOs that I've heard to this point, he probably did the best job. All right, let's jump into the analyst questions. The first question was about Argo. And honestly, Jim Farley's answer was muddled and it was not clear. Doug Field, he answered the question as well. And I didn't get a better sense I should say that he spoke on the question. I don't think he answered the question. Basically, Doug Field said, for level 4 autonomy or improved level 3 autonomy, we need talent. We need talented programmers and engineers to come and work for us. If you don't know who Doug Field is, he worked for Ford as an engineer very early in his career. He was a vice president at Segway, Apple, and Tesla. And now he's the chief officer of EVs and digital systems at Ford. You should know who he is because he's playing a big role in Ford's transition to EVs. Now, I told you that story, so I can tell you this one because our next clip is a question again on Argo. So let's go ahead and listen in.
Just to follow up on the Argo, just to be clear, I mean, did you look for acquirers for the business? I mean, obviously, rather than taking a big impairment, and, you know, maybe to follow up a little bit, what is your kind of timeline for level 4 that you're looking at? I mean, do you think this is 20 years out at this point? I mean, I guess you had to come up with some sort of assessment before you made the decision.
Absolutely. You know, as I mentioned, Colin, we looked at many variables, and one of them is access to public markets. We were very clear that the Argo journey would include access to public markets over the last year. And, you know, we feel like that's a lot more challenged. So, yes, we looked at possible partnerships and funding, but it was one of maybe 10 factors that we looked at in making this decision. John, maybe why don't you share our discussion as a leadership team on the time frame?
Yeah, so Colin, when we looked at this, as Jim said, not only does it require the technology breakthroughs and the capital invested in the technology, but then in all the services and fleets scaling across the country that would be required to get to a profitable business. We saw that, you know, 5 years plus, the horizon being that far out before you could actually get to something that started to generate a meaningful business. And we see a much greater opportunity to impact more customers immediately with the L2, L3 technology and impact our business in a positive way in the more near-term timeframe. So that was part of the business discussion that we had with the team.
Again, it sounds like level four was much harder to crack than they thought it was. So they made the decision to concentrate on L2, L3. And speaking about L3, we have a question on L3 and when does Ford think they'll be able to bring it to market? So let's go ahead and listen into that.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking the questions. So maybe you could share more on the timing to bring L3 products to market. And is that something you think Ford will be developing in-house, perhaps with some benefit from Argo capabilities? Is that thinking something you perhaps leverage from some of the suppliers and some of their potential input or maybe some combination?
Thank you, Mark. I think Doug is best suited to answer this. All I would say is that we're timing the arrival in line with our second cycle of EVs and a fully updatable, software updatable vehicle. So kind of think of that 23 to 25 timeframe as Ford completely refreshing its EV lineup globally, introducing fully updatable electrical architectures and in-house software development for controlling the vehicle, leveraging all of our experience of now we've done 5 million OTAs and an enhanced level 2 plus and level 3 system. Over to you, Doug.
Thanks, Jim. We are not going to ignore the capabilities of suppliers that can provide value in our L3 solution. There are great manufacturers of components of systems such as imaging sensors and radar, and we'll take advantage of that. But we will have a core team that can integrate a system, understand its performance at the system level, and we will own the software. It is really important that we also own the connection to these vehicles. L3 is a connected technology, so the ability to have a pipeline that collects data and makes the system better and better, we must own that. Finally, the customer experience, how the customer moves in and out of autonomous operation. That's a problem that actually doesn't exist in L4 and is a huge opportunity for us to create a Ford experience that's really unique. So those are the areas that we will absolutely develop great capability in-house and focus on in the L3 development.
And we're really excited about the Argo team helping us with that internal effort.
So my question is, when do you think Ford's second cycle EVs will hit the market? 2023, 2025, that sounds soon. Do you think that level 3 will be ready by 2025? Maybe in certain areas, maybe in blue zones, as Ford calls it. I don't know. If you don't mind indulging me for just a second here, we can all agree that Tesla's been doing this longer than anybody else. Waymo's pretty close in terms of developing autonomous software at the level that they currently are. Like Tesla's pretty far along, Waymo's pretty far along. We'll both agree on that. Every time Tesla does something that involves new hardware or removing hardware, what they do is they take away some of the features and then they slowly add it back in. It sounds like Ford, what they have now is, and again, this is just sounds like, I don't have any insider knowledge on this, but it sounds like they're kind of up against the limitations. Like they've maxed out what they have. It doesn't sound like they're collecting all that much data, which I would think that Ford would be collecting all of this data like Tesla does. But it doesn't sound like they're doing that because Doug Field mentioned that they need to collect more data with the new cycle of EVs. So if they have to implement new hardware and new software and a new backend and new servers and a new this and a new that with the next cycle of EVs, I think that's going to introduce a bunch of problems into their full self-driving that they're going to have to solve. And yes, maybe they'll have the capabilities in terms of they have the software in place, they have the hardware in place, but I don't think they'll have it perfected in a way where level three is going to be working straight out of the gate. Again, if they're choosing like these little blue zones, these geofenced areas where it's going to work really good, I think that's going to be easier, but it's still not going to be easy. I just, anytime you implement new hardware, new software, new this, new that, there's going to be problems that you don't anticipate when you roll it out at scale, and you have to roll back features because there's going to be problems. Like, we still have issues sometimes when our iPhones update. And Apple's been doing this for a long time, and there's still problems. All right, I'm not going to beat a dead horse. Maybe I will afford this. Maybe in one small blue zone in, you know, Chattanooga, Tennessee, may be able to use level three, but nowhere else in the world are you going to be able to do that. I'm just saying it's going to be harder than they are suggesting on this earnings call. All right, this is our last clip here, and it's all about the Inflation Reduction Act and has it motivated Ford to build more EVs.
You mentioned the myriad of ways that the IRA could potentially benefit Ford, and you reiterated the capacity ramp targets through 2026, I believe. But do you think over the longer term and perhaps out over the next 10 years or so, does the IRA change the gross amount of investment you want to make into EVs and how quickly Ford may shift toward EVs, especially in the latter part of this decade? Thanks.
It only accelerates what we're going to do, for sure. And what's exciting for us is being a 40% player in the U.S. and the top brand in Europe of commercial vehicles. In the U.S., I mean, we've never had this before. To give you a sense of the EV tax credit for commercial, how evocative that is for Ford, the people who buy police vehicles, the people who buy ambulances, the communities, the emergency responders, they've never had tax credits. They are going to have, this is not just a $7,500 tax credit for consumers. This is for businesses, including local municipalities. So, I think this will have a dramatic impact on the adoption of EV, which we're already 90% market share in the EVAN business. We think it will really accelerate the demand for these commercial EVs, and that's only going to accelerate our speed to market and our scaling of those vehicles. We can't wait to show you the vehicles themselves because they're second-generation commercial EVs. So, this is going to accelerate. What's not clear yet, I said, is will the consumer demand side of this legislation be the largest benefit to our customers and the company, or will it be more like the industrialization of vehicles? That's something to play out in the marketplace, and it's hard to handicap that, honestly.
All right. What I got from this clip is that me, as the host of this show, I'm going to have to pay more attention to the commercial side of Ford's EV brand because I don't pay attention to it at all right now. But Ford is clearly excited about it. They mentioned it several times throughout the earnings call, which leads me to believe that they are seeing dollar bills, y'all. They are excited about the money that's going to come in from the EV side, the commercial EV side. He mentions first responders. Right now, we have a Ford F-550 Wildland truck. And this thing is, in terms of a truck, it's a beast. In terms of a Wildland truck, it's puny. But as a pickup truck, this thing is a beast. Ford doesn't currently sell an electrified F-550. If they are going to get into the commercial side of things with ambulances, which are often on Ford chassis, if they're going to get into like BC buggies, which is what the battalion chiefs drive around, or chief buggies, when the chiefs go from place to place, they're going to have to hurry. Like a BC buggy could be an F-150 Lightning pretty easy. But just speaking about the first responder side of things, there are some people in support services that need a more heavy-duty truck to get things from place to place. And that'd be an F-250, F-350. Really, the F-550s are for things like wildland trucks. F-450s would be more like an ambulance. But I could see where for with the tax credits on the municipal side of things that municipalities can take advantage of, well, this would be a big deal. There's a lot of folks who work in parks departments. I'm forgetting the department that takes care of the roads and the sidewalks and the fire hydrants, the water department. All of these groups could use, F-150 and above class vehicles. So I could see why Ford's excited about this. All right, everybody, I said I was going to try to keep this to 30 minutes, and that's where we happen to be. So I'm going to end it here. If you want to email me, it's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. You can find me on Twitter at 918digital. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me or direct message me. I am happy to answer any questions you have. Let's see here. Think. I think that's it. So I'm going to see you on Friday. I hope everybody has a great day. And I don't know how to end this anymore. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.